By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church in Hudson, North Carolina. For more information on the church, go to ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. Pastor, we're back after a lengthy hiatus due to some scheduling conflicts and this, that, and the other, but we're back and we're excited to be talking about some current issues and some current theology and some of the implications there. We first want to talk about something that's been in the news, and if you've been keeping up with some current events and some popular preachers and things, we're going to talk tonight about Andy Stanley. And now, we've talked about him before in the past, and we're not just jumping all over Brother Stanley. The reason we're addressing him again is because he keeps popping up in the news, Pastor. It's almost like you can't not talk about it because it's in the news everywhere. And it's not going away, really. I've read articles for the past couple weeks on this, and we'll talk about his comments here in a second. But we've went over some stuff in the past with him, and now he has a recent sermon that he preached at his church about the Old Testament and about Jesus and the implications of the resurrection. And Pastor, he makes some comments in there, and the main thing that's been getting a lot of people's attention is being unhitched from the Old Testament. That's his wording. That's the words he used in his sermon. Unhitch yourself from the Old Testament. And he goes on to explain. And so we have this issue to talk about. And so we just thought we'd do this podcast on the Old Testament and the importance of that. And I realize that's a very, very broad topic. But the Old Testament and why we need it and what it means, what was it pointing to, and is Brother Stanley wrong when he says that we need to unhitch ourselves from that mindset of the Old Testament, the law, and the prophets, and all of that. Pastor, open us up on a couple notes there.
Well, Nathan, Andy Stanley is a very prominent megachurch pastor in the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, and as such, he is... extremely well known. And so when he makes a statement like he has recently made, it certainly shakes, if not sends reverberations throughout the Christian world, at least here in the United States. When you make statements to the fact or to the concept that Christians must unhitch Old Testament from their faith, it's kind of like saying, "To what?" and to give him the benefit of the doubt, we read and we understand that Stanley does believe that the Old Testament is divinely inspired.
Right.
But with that being said, if we are to unhitch from it and it's divinely inspired, then we have a problem therein.
Right. To piggyback off of that quote you gave, he also says that the Old Testament is divinely inspired, but it's not the go-to source regarding any behavior in the church. And he tries to justify it from Acts 15. And I think, in my humble opinion, where I think Brother Stanley has gone wrong is I think he's taking the attitude of the resurrection and its vastly important significance. It is a historical fact. It is something that we as Christians can look back on and be 100% sure that history recorded the resurrection, that Jesus was a man who lived and died, and there are multiple sources that attest to this fact, and we've talked about that on the podcast before. So you can go back and listen to the one on the resurrection if you want some more detail on that subject. But my point is this, is that I think that he's taking something good and say, well, we can start with Jesus with people. We can start here and we can say, listen, the resurrection happened. It's a historical fact. We've not found the body, so forth and so on. And it can be a great apologetic and a great witness and a great evangelistic method, because we've got people wanting to argue about all kinds of stuff nowadays, Pastor. I mean, people want to get off on the social justice topic. It's a good topic, but that shouldn't be in the way of your salvation. That shouldn't affect your theology in the sense of when you are just starting to grasp the concepts of the gospel. And there's much to be talked about social justice and about every issue that we can bring up. And so I think Stanley has a good starting point. He says, you know, just give me the resurrection and we'll start there. And I can understand that to a degree, but Pastor, not to the degree where we say, well, the Old Testament is inspired, but we just don't really need it, and you don't need to be preaching out of it.
You alluded a few moments ago to Acts 15 in the scriptures of the great Jerusalem council there. Stanley, I'm quoting here, he said, Peter, James, Paul, elected to unhitch the Christian faith from their Jewish scriptures, and my friends, we must as well, unquote. I don't think so. I don't think so. I do not see anywhere where Peter, James, the pastor there at the Jerusalem church, and Paul unhitched their faith from the Jewish scriptures.
And I mean, I know he's a smart guy, and I know it's not so much of a basic argument as just to say that, well, he must not know that they quote the Old Testament in their letters. Of course, I would say he knows that. He knows how much the Old Testament is quoted. So he's really, I guess, emphasizing here that Peter and Paul and those guys just sought out to do away with anything regarding the law.
Let's look at the crux of the problem there in chapter 15, mm-hmm. where Paul and the delegates go to Jerusalem for the church first church council there. And I think it's pretty plain that you had some Judaizers that were not authorized and were not sent by Pastor James, you know, up to Antioch, and they were causing trouble. Mm. And so it was clarified there in Jerusalem at the council. You do not have to be circumcised. The Gentiles, I mean, mm-hmm. do not have to be circumcised to be a Christian.
Right.
And you do not have to, keep the various and sundry Old Testament laws mm-hmm. To be a Christian. That was plainly settled. Mm-hmm. And a very, very minimum criteria was laid down. Keep yourself from fornication. Keep yourself from things strangled. Keep yourself from blood. Keep yourself from idols.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, here comes Paul. He's delighted. He's happy.
Yeah.
I mean, at these minimum requirements, he would want to do the same thing.
Yeah. But you know what kind of gets me on that, even that passage where, you know, he kind of, I don't want to say skirted around it, but he talked about that passage, but those things that Paul is advising are Old Testament laws. Those are in the Old Testament. And he's saying, yeah, continue that. So if we continue that part of it, then there must be other parts of the Old Testament that apply to us as well. I think that just logically follows.
Nathan, I want to throw a quote out, and I'm going to get your reaction to it.
Okay.
He allegedly said, if you were raised on a version of Christianity that relied on the Bible as the foundation of faith, a version that was eventually dismantled by academia or the realities of life, maybe it's time for you to change your mind about Jesus, unquote. Mm. Now,
yeah, that's where it starts getting slippery.
A version of Christianity that relies on the Bible as the foundation of faith?
Yeah, I can't.
And dismantled by academia?
I can't even hardly comment without just speculating what he means. So I probably shouldn't speculate, but I'm definitely not on board with him saying that it's destroyed by academia.
What do you think Frank Turek or Norman Geisler might weigh in right there?
Which are good friends of Stanley, and I don't know what went wrong there, but of course we don't think that the Old Testament is destroyed by academia or any part of the Bible for that. Nothing that has been found archaeologically or any other sort has ever disproven anything for the Bible. And so if they would, don't you think they'd be rubbing that in our faces? I mean, every day it's like, oh, this didn't really happen. This king wasn't king during that time, you know, on and on and on and on. So
apparently, maybe one of the bones of contention are some of the so-called problem passages where, right, you know, the Canaanites were to be, you know, pushed out of the land, and some of them killed, etc., and things like this. And maybe that's what he's alluding to, that is keeping some of these people from the faith.
I heard Vadi Balcom mentioned one time, and it wasn't exactly on this subject, but it was on the idea of, like, you know, how people say that the God of the Old Testament was hateful or jealous or angry. And he just merely pointed out that Jesus was present at the destruction of Sodom. He existed. I mean, when all of the tough passages in Judges are there, we see, you know, what could have been a Christophany in that book, an appearance of a pre-incarnate Christ. And that's throughout Scripture. So, I mean, obviously he's not saying Jesus didn't exist, but I think you have to say and think to yourself and logically follow the fact that he was present from the beginning of time, and it's not like he was denouncing what happened in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy is the third most scripture quoted in the New Testament.
Yes, correct.
What is Deuteronomy? A lot of the law, a lot of the story and the narrative of the law. And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy a lot. And so if Jesus is quoting that, and if Paul starts quoting the law and saying things like, don't muzzle an ox, that's an Old Testament law. He applied that to New Testament Christianity.
Sure.
So my point is that I know that the Old Testament is still relevant to us, and that it isn't something to be unhitched from, in my opinion.
Well, you know, moving to maybe another little comment, and you and I have talked about this. We certainly are not accusing Pastor Stanley of being a Marcionite. Mm-hmm. But Marcion, first to the second century person, I would not call him a Christian.
Yeah.
But other things he held to, but one of the things he held to, Nathan, was his errant views and his belief that Old Testament scriptures were not authoritative for a Christian. Now, that's where I think you get the one gentleman who did try to refer to Pastor Stanley as falling terribly close into the era of Marcionism.
Right.
And so say something about the authority of the Old Testament and Marcion.
Well, you know, the authority of the Old Testament is, in my eyes, the same as the New Testament. Whenever Paul wrote the words, and we know he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but whenever he wrote the words that all Scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. He's not talking about his own writings right then. That wasn't regarded like that at that moment in time. You got to put yourself in the context of Paul writing that letter and who he's writing it to in the time. And the Old Testament is what they considered to be authoritative.
Absolutely. I like what the author there on gottoquestions.org summed up this article on Marcionism. And he said, "The lesson to be learned from Marcionism is that we have no right to act as editor of God's word, but we must accept and believe the whole counsel of God."
Mm. Absolutely. I mean, it's something that maybe we've, and I don't want to be too derogatory or pessimistic, but maybe we've missed the boat on preaching it a little bit. Maybe we've moralized it a little bit too much and said, well, you've got to, you know, be the David and beat the Goliath in your life. And not that that's a terrible thing, but, you know, Christ on the road to Emmaus said that everything pertained to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, so I think we should be looking for Christ in the Old Testament, not unhitching from it.
Point excellently made.
I don't see any other way. I mean, as we were talking a while ago about a satire that was written, he starts going on about, you know, how, you know, it, other books of the Bible he can cut out, like Hebrews. It has all of that nagging Melchizedek stuff that he just didn't understand. He's obviously being satirical and saying that, well, you know, Hebrews just isn't going to work for me either because it's very Old Testament. And then he goes on to Galatians and points out some Old Testament stuff in there that he's uncomfortable with if he's unhitching himself. So by the long story short, by the end of the process, he doesn't have very many books left to work with. And I don't know how you understand who God is and who Jesus is without knowing the Old Testament, without a proper understanding of the Old Testament. And like we said, Brother Stanley knows that the Bible is divinely inspired. I don't know how conservative he is on all of that. I don't know his personal theology, but I do know that he's preaching. He wants Christ to be proclaimed, and that's admirable. But I think we're being a little damaging to Christianity as a whole when we say things like "unhitch yourself from God's word." I would just shudder to think what some of our Christian fathers would have thought about a statement like that.
Yeah, a man in his position, mm-hmm. that's given the such a vast public audience. You must be very precise and discreet in trying to put a Band-Aid on one little problem. You can rip a wound open that is much worse than that which you were trying to mend.
I think an important distinction to make, and you can comment if you want, I think there is a major contrast between ceremonial law and moral law.
Absolutely.
So I agree if you're talking about we don't hold the ceremonial laws anymore. We don't. That was for that time, for those people. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to talk and emphasize that point too much. I'm not saying that it doesn't relate to us at all. I think we can glean a lot of things and understand who God is and a lot of his attributes from those laws. There's plenty of use for those scriptures. But there's a difference between the ceremonial laws, all of the washings, all of the, you know, sacrificing, all of the do's and don'ts. But that doesn't eradicate the moral law that got established in the Old Testament too.
Right. There were dietary laws and statutes that were particular to Israel as a nation that did not apply to Gentile or non-Israelite nations. And so one errs whenever they try to take all of this, like 613 various laws in the Old mm-hmm. Testament. And you try to take some of those statutes and dietary laws and superimpose them and say that has to be done. No, that's not for us. That was for this theocratic nation, right. Israel, this special, you know, divinely appointed people that were to be a witness for God among the nations.
And when you think about it, there's really only one ceremonial law in the Ten Commandments. I mean, remember the Sabbath day.
Yes.
That's really the only ceremonial mm-hmm. one. The rest are moral. Mm-hmm. And so while we don't observe ceremonial laws, we certainly still hold that the moral laws, the moral absolutes that have been absolute from the beginning of time, that they're still right there in place. And they're talked about and expounded a lot on the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, I don't know. I'm curious to see what Stanley does. I'm curious to see if he ever preaches from an Old Testament book. I mean, will he do that? Is he just saying that? I know he said they were inspired, but does he not think there's going to be any? Like, he doesn't need to talk about Genesis or Exodus.
I think he will. I think I'm confident that he will. You know, down the road. But you brought up something else, Genesis. I mean, this is raging. I mean, and especially if you want to talk about academia, mm-hmm. From a secular standpoint, I mean, you can't find any more when you talk about origins and you talk about you know, creationism mm-hmm. or the origin of the universe, et cetera, anything that's any more confrontational than this, probably the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. You talk about original sin, which is a bad word mm-hmm. among secularists. Yep. You talk about creation mm-hmm. by the Almighty God, that's a no-no.
Yep.
Even though they can't explain it, they don't want to take the creation side of it.
Yep.
And so, man, this is a virtual powder keg, just the first three chapters of Genesis.
And there's the whole aspect that Jesus confirmed all of that.
Jesus confirmed it.
I mean, the historicity of Adam, that's been long argued, and that's not the point for tonight, but the point I'm trying to make is Jesus affirmed it and said that Adam to Zechariah. I mean, it's all Scripture is the point. I mean, not one jot or tittle passes away.
But you know, Jesus also said, "Male and female made He them." Mm. And so maybe some would like to X out the Old Testament to make it a little easier on themselves with current problems in our society.
We're living in a day of political correctness and tolerance. And
tolerance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever that is.
Yes.
I've seen now that people are complaining about that term and saying, well, tolerance not the right word to use, because that's just like you saying that you disagree with them, but you can go in your own little circles. And they want full compliance mm-hmm. with their morality, mm-hmm. but they haven't explained 1 second from where it came. And that's not the conversation either. But the point is that, like, to what you said, there's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament that's not going to make a lot of people happy if they read some of the tough passages.
Well, let me ask you something else. Delving this in a little bit different direction. So if we can X out the Old Testament, Nathan, there are some who would like to X out a good portion of the New Testament, mm-hmm. you know, referring to those would be hyper-dispensationalists. So,
yeah,
speak to that.
we might have to continue another podcast on that topic, but that's definitely I don't know how much it's growing. I don't know that you can ever get a statistic like that. But hyper-dispensationalism is it's an odd belief that's just kind of I guess it's been around since dispensationalism, but not really as prominent. And what it basically says is that there's basically a portion of the church age. You know, you have your seven ages in dispensationalism. And the church age that we're currently in, it is put on so high of a pedestal that they are saying that nothing applies to us in the Old Testament, and that if you're preaching out of the Old Testament, though it be God's word, it's not for you today. And
it gets worse than that.
It gets worse than that. They X out the Gospels, yes. Because that's not that's history, and that was before Christ died. And even some parts of Acts that they X out, and
we can you basically don't start some of them. What, chapter 13, and some at about chapter 18,
and then you get to Hebrews, and after Hebrews, you X out everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that Paul didn't write, you mm-hmm. X that out. And once again, they're not saying that it's not the Word of God, but they're saying it's not for you. And that's a dangerous.
That is a very dangerous place to be.
And it goes right in line with that. And I don't know what Stanley's belief is on that, but it sounds pretty similar. I mean, he's saying that we don't need those laws, we don't need to study them, and while they're significant, they're not for us in our day and age. And so the hyper-dispensationalist is ripping a lot of pages out of the Bible to say, you know, we don't really need that law, and that's not for us. And even the Gospels, which blows my mind.
So I didn't, just like you and I would be very critical of the hyper-dispensationalist to say, how dare you
yep.
take away from the Word of God, then in the same note, we must turn and say, how dare you encourage someone
mm.
that you don't need the Old Testament?
Yeah, I don't... I just don't know what you do with that. Like, what do you do with John? I mean, obviously, they're just Xing it out, but, I mean, how can you X it out? I mean, there's so much deep theology, and I guess maybe that's why they don't want to talk about it, but it's hard for me to understand why they exactly do that, and I've read their stuff, I've tried to understand it, and I think we're on a very, very slippery slope when we don't realize that Christ, God, has been working throughout all of history.
Absolutely.
And that There's many things that point you to Christ in the Old Testament. I don't know what we would do if we just
so I guess
unhitch it.
We would probably agree to summarize something like this. You know, while we certainly can respect Pastor Stanley as a New Testament pastor, we can also certainly strongly disagree with him on his views of encouraging some to unhitch. from the Old Testament.
Yeah, no thanks. I'll keep my Old Testament because it is just as rich and just as full of grace as the New Testament is. And you only need to study just a little bit. You might have to dig a little bit more to understand some of the hard things, but it's grace. And and God's been good and faithful since the very beginning. And so we'll wrap it up there, and we'll hopefully be back next week to give you another podcast episode. And we thank you for hanging with us during our break. And we see the numbers. You guys have still been downloading, and we appreciate that a lot. So tell your friends about us and share us on your social media of choice. And as always, we thank you for joining us, where the conversation is outside the box, but inside the Word.